Remaining answer of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib. I shall now dictate the rest of my answer that was left incomplete. Mr. Abdullah Atham states, we do not believe a physical thing that is a manifestation of Allah to be Allah, and we have not believed in the Son of Allah having a body. We believe Allah to be a spirit. This statement of the aforenamed gentleman is immensely contorted and deceptive. The aforementioned gentleman should have stated in clear words that we recognize Jesus to be God and believe him to be the Son of Allah, because every single person understands and knows that there is no mutually necessary association between the body and the spirit, so that the body should be declared to be a part of some person. For example, when we know some human being to be a human being, do we consider him to be a human being because of a certain special body that he possesses? Clearly, this thought is patently false, since the body is constantly in a state of dissolution and renewal, and in a few years, it is as if the previous body has been replaced by a new one. So what is the special peculiarity of the Messiah in this context? No human being is a human being by virtue of the body he possesses. Rather, it is by virtue of his spirit or soul that he is called a human being. If the body was necessary for a person to be who he is, then a person upon reaching the age of 60, for example, should no longer be considered to be the same person, but someone completely different, because in the 60 years he has changed his body many times. This is exactly the case of the Messiah. The blessed body that he was given in the beginning, with which he was born, could not be offered in atonement nor be of any use. Instead, by age 30, he had acquired a new body, and it is with this body that it is thought that he was placed on the cross, and then, after joining with the Spirit, has been seated forever on the right hand of God Almighty. Now that it has been proven that the body has no connection with the attributes and qualities of the soul, and whether a human or an animal, it would be distinguished as a human or an animal according to its soul, and the body is constantly in a state of dissolution. So given all this, if the Christian gentlemen believe that the Messiah is truly God Almighty, then what need is there for them to say that he is a manifestation of Allah? Do we say that man is a manifestation of man? Similarly, if the soul of the Messiah is not similar to a human soul, and he did not acquire his soul in the womb of Mary, the ever-truthful, in the way and according to the law of nature, as human beings do, in the manner which has been observed by medical science and doctors, then you must first present proof that the development of his fetus happened in some extraordinary manner. And then the question is why to make this belief, divinity of Jesus, known to people, hiding and concealing it like someone afraid, couched in various ways and forms. Instead, you should just clearly state that the Messiah is our God and there is no other God beside him. Considering that God in his perfect attributes cannot be divided up and the word God cannot be applied to the being that lacks even one attribute from all God's perfect and complete attributes. So in such a case, I cannot understand how they became three. When you gentlemen have yourselves already agreed and accepted that it is necessary for God Almighty to be the possessor of all complete attributes, in that case, this division which has been done, that is to say, the Son of God, who is a complete God, God the Father, who is a complete God, and the Holy Spirit, who is a complete God, what is the meaning of these? And for what reason are these three names given? Because the names, being different, requires that there be some attribute, more or less, in each. But since you have admitted that there is no increase or decrease with regard to the attributes, then out of these three persons of the Godhead, which of them is distinctive, whom you have not yet revealed? Whatever you will declare to be the distinguishing feature, that too will be an attribute of all the perfect attributes that should be found in the being that is called God. Now that that attribute is found in this being who has been declared to be God, then against this, to give some other name, for example, the Son of Allah or the Holy Spirit, becomes totally absurd and pointless. Because this is a very profound matter, you gentlemen should really ponder diligently over what I have just said, lest you ignore these matters in your reply. God Almighty is that being who is the possessor of all complete and perfect attributes, and does not need any help from any other being, nor in being perfect is he in need of any other. The similitude of Moses and the bush that Mr. Abdullah Atam presented in item 2 is irrelevant for this current argument. The aforenamed gentleman should kindly present proof from the Holy Quran showing where it is written that the fire itself was God or that the voice came from the fire. In fact, God Almighty clearly states in the Holy Quran that فَلَمَّا جَاءَهَا نُودِيَ أَمْ بُورِكَ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Meaning that when Moses came, it was proclaimed by a voice, "Blessed is he who is in the fire and also those around it, and holy is Allah from having a body or from coiling up into himself, and he is the Lord of all the worlds." Please notice that God clearly states in this verse that blessed is he who is in the fire and those who are around it. And God Almighty called out to bestow this blessing upon them. From this, we learn that the thing that was in the fire was what received the blessings, not the one who gave the blessings. God uses the word nudiya, called out, to indicate that he himself blessed the inside of the fire and its surroundings. From this, it is proven that God was not in the fire, and this is not the belief of the Muslims either. In fact, Allah, the Lord of Glory, rebuts this fanciful idea in the next verse by stating that وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, meaning that God Almighty is pure from such passing into things and descending, and he is the Lord of every single thing. Similarly, it is written in Exodus chapter 3 verse 2 that during that time, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And whereas Mr. Abdullah Atam states that it is also written in the Quran at this place that I am the Lord of your father Ishaq, Isaac, and Ibrahim, Abraham, and Yaqub, Jacob, this is completely contrary to the facts. This is not written in the Holy Quran anywhere. If this is the plight of the references cited by the aforenamed gentleman, that he fearlessly presents a reference that is completely contrary to the facts, then those references that he has cited from the Torah and the New Testament also merit being checked for authenticity with the books at hand. Then the aforementioned gentleman states that in the Torah, the Messiah is referred to as Yaqtan and the prophets as Yaqman. I declare that neither the word Yaqtan nor Yaqman can be found anywhere in the Torah. It would be a very great favor of the aforenamed gentleman if he proves, by explaining on the basis of the Torah, that whenever the other prophets have been called the sons of Allah, it was meant to be in the sense of Yaqman, that is to say, one in spirit, and that when the Messiah, peace be upon him, was called Son of Allah, it was meant in the sense of Yaqtan, that is to say, one in body. In my understanding, however, I believe the other prophets excel the Messiah, peace be upon him, as regards these honorific titles. This is so because the Messiah himself settled this issue when he stated that, "Why do you grieve when I am called the Son of Allah? This is no great thing. In Psalms, it is even written that you are all gods." The exact words of the Messiah that are written in John chapter 10 verse 35 are as follows. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Now unbiased people should reflect upon these verses, fearing Allah Almighty, that upon such an occasion, when the Messiah was directly questioned regarding his sonship, was it not incumbent upon the Messiah that if he were truly the Son of Allah, he should have said that he is, in fact, the Son of Allah Almighty, yet you all are men? But he gave his rebuttal in such a way that he put a seal on it by saying that you are partners of a higher rank in title, since I have only been referred to as the Son, while you have been called God. Then the aforenamed gentleman states that although others have also been called sons in the Torah, the Messiah has been glorified very greatly. The reply to this is that these praises will only rightfully be accepted as applying to the Messiah when you prove them to be so in accord with the conditions that we have set forth. Secondly, the statement of the Messiah, peace be upon him, in John chapter 10, is contrary to your explanation and in accord with our statement. These thoughts of yours have been refuted by the Messiah himself, peace be upon him. The rest of the answer will be written after your reply. Signature, English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, representing Muslims. Signature, English, Henry Martin Clark, President, representing Christians.